And like when he sings that song, one of my favorite songs he sings is "I Surrender All." Amen. And he's got a way of singing that it's Brother Tony's way of version of doing that. And I remember my brothers got into a lot of trouble years ago, and we were going to Kyoto Full Gospel. And I remember my heart was shattered because I look at my brothers being in so much trouble, and there's a lot of stuff going on at that time. And Brother Tony had come up there and he sung that song, "I Surrender All," and it was just like what all the things that were choking me just melted away during that song. And I have remembered that over all these years, brother, and it was absolutely awesome. So I sure do appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it, Brother Tony, Sister Lisa, all that you do. I know you do a lot of sacrifices for us, and thank you. We appreciate it. And thank you, all the church would say amen to that. I want to speak to you tonight on "The Seed Shall Prevail." The seed shall prevail. Amen. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. And my tablet failed me today, so I'm using a copy or a printed paper, doing the Torah, doing it the old-fashioned way like he does and tonight. So we'll just pray the Lord to help me. Amen. This is when we're going to go through verse 10. "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waking out of his sleep. And said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and seven lamps thereon, and the seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And he answered and spake unto me, and saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and thou shalt bring forth headstones thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord cometh to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Let's go to one prayer. Father, we love you. And you know I feel insufficient in myself tonight, Lord. I just want to give myself over to you. I ask you to touch every heart that is listening tonight, Lord. That Father, that may it go beyond the hearing of their ears, but Lord, to speak to the inner man. Lord, to sow, Father, that we can receive bread. Lord, that when we leave the service, it will be satisfied, Lord. And our spiritual man can grow and be energized for the things that are said, Father. We love you. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I sure count it a privilege to be in the house of the Lord with you. I want to read a quote. This is a little bit of a read, but please just stay with me in what we're saying tonight, okay? It says, now what is a candlestick? It is a lampstand, and notice how beautiful here we turned, and he saw this one like the Son of Man here standing in the midst of these seven golden lampstands, which means seven church ages to come. And each pipe or lampstand hooked into the main big oil censer, and the oil come forth to a little odd-shaped lamp that sat with a wick in it, and the wick hung down into the oil. And as long they poured oil into the top of the stand, which filled up the main big stem and big branch, and it run out into the stems like this. And the lamp, which with the wick hanging down this pipe into the kept burning day and night, you never had to light it, it never went out, they just kept pouring oil in the main pipe. And these lampstands, which come out like this, had lamps sitting on top of them. The wick from the lamp run down into here, got its life out of here. Oh, what different it is from a candle. How different. It's a lampstand, it's pulling oil. Now, these lampstands, the fire was on these lampstands in the Old Testament. When they lit one lampstand, they could not light the next lamp with the same fire they had in their hand. They lit one lamp, then picked it up and lit the other lamp. Then it set it down and lit this lamp, and then it took and lit this lamp, and with the same fire that they started at the beginning. Oh, I hope this don't go over your heads. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the same fire of Holy Ghost lit every one of those churches right down through the ages. Amen. Didn't Jesus say in St. John 15, I am the vine and you're the branches? Now, he is the main vine and we are the branches. Now, the vine does not bear fruit that you can take citrus tree like an orange. You can take a limb and well said grapefruit tree, or split a little place in the orange tree and put the grapefruit in, it'll grow. You go over there, take a lemon limb and put it in the orange tree, it'll grow. Or take a pomegranate, take it or any other citrus, tangerine, tangelo, any of these citrus fruits, put them into this tree and it'll thrive off the life of that orange tree. But it will not bear oranges. It'll bear grapefruits, it'll bear tangelos, it'll bear lemons, but it's thriving off of the life of the real vine. Right. But if that vine ever puts forth another branch, it'll be the same life that's in it. It'll bear an orange because in the beginning, in the root of it, it was an orange tree life. But others can live off of it as long as the nature of citrus fruit, but it can't bear fruit of the original because it's not of the original. Now catch this. That's the way the church is. They have split the vine, grafted in Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, and so forth like that. It's bearing Baptist fruit, Presbyterian fruit, Methodist fruit. But if it ever, that tree ever brings forth another vine, it'll be the same kind of vine it brought on the day of Pentecost of the original vine. And that's from the Baptist vision. No, this is, in showing this, it shows that God has laws, and as long as the earth works according to the laws that God put in place, the law, it works. Life preserves. Right. And the earth has worked according to the laws of God for millions of years. And the reason it has worked is, as I said, is because it's worked according to the laws that God put in place. Right. Now, the message that I preached last time was, this is kind of a little step up from that service. In Psalms 104, and you get a chance to read that scripture again at home. Talking about how it's a God of precision, and how that God created the earth, that it all works in harmony, and because it works off of harmony, it feeds off one another, one caters to another. God put it all in place, and it works exactly the way it's supposed to. That's the point I'm trying to make. Right. In the same sense, the church is of the living God is the exact same way. God has put laws, God has put a vision here of saying, this is how the church is going to live. This is how I'm going to have, this is my chosen place of worship. God showed there's going to be seven lampstands. There is a bowl that's going to drain oil to that, and talked about those lampstands must draw the oil. And that's so important that we, as the seed of God, we must draw the oil, brother and sister. And it's so important because that is the difference between the bride and the foolish virgin, is because the bride has oil. Amen? We have the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So God lays the foundation, and man must work according to the foundation that God has laid out in God's blueprint. And when man works according to the laws God has put in place, man can use the laws that of God and use it for his advantage, such as gravity. You can use gravity to go to your advantage to accomplish something.
Right.
And you can also use gravity to tell something in the future, like finding planets and so forth by gravity.
Right.
So that's using laws for an advantage. And man can use the laws of nature to know when and where to plant, you know, by using the laws of gravity, he tells you, or using the laws of nature. And it's not nature that's changing for man, but man will work according to the laws of nature, and it works.
Right.
And it's the same way with the gospel, friends, is whenever we will work according to the gospel, it will work if we do it the right way. But
right.
You can, as Brother Graham talked about one time, if you use the laws of gravity, you can pump water from one place to another. Because you're using that. And if you try to do it another way, it won't work. But if you work according to the laws, it works right.
The
same thing with electricity in this building. There's light. There's a switch over there, and I can tell that switch, scream at it, shout at it, speak in tongues at it. Light, come on. Light, come on. Light, come on. It won't work. But if I flip the switch, it works. The light comes on. And that's exactly the way the gospel is. A lot of times, the person thinks, I got to shout, I got to scream, I got to do this to make the light come on in my life. But it's not that. The shouting's fine. When you get emotional, that's fine. But when we work according to the laws that God put in place, light will come. And that's the most precious thing that we have in this life is light. And revelation is light. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You're in darkness about the situation, and all of a sudden you can see because the revelation is giving you, what is it? A light's come on. And that's what the church needs, and we are supposed to walk in the light. Amen? And that's revelation. So man, when man works according to the laws of God, God put in place, he can use those things for his advantage. And just as working according to the laws of nature brings harmony, there are laws in nature and in the way that you can also lead the church. Now this angel showed the vision of the lamp and the lamps and the stands and how that they are to be filled and how they are to operate. And according to the vision, we saw something before it ever happened. Is that right? This is before there ever was a Methodist, a Baptist, a Pentecostal, a message church. Before there was you or I in the natural, this was way before that ever took place. And God says, this is the way it's going to happen. This is my chosen way. So who are we to come later on and say, well, I don't want to come that way. I want to come my way. It doesn't matter what our way is. We must come according to what his laws are, because that would be just as silly as saying, I don't want to work according to the laws of gravity. I want to do it my way.
Right.
You can want to, that's not going to work.
Right.
Amen. So that's, and the angel showed us this, and God is the one that gave the vision, and the vision will not lie. You say amen.
Amen.
The fire must come, and it was the original fire, the Pentecost. So they didn't light the lampstand with a different fire. They took the fire from the original fire and lit the next one, took that one, lit the next one. So it's the same fire all the time. And brother and sister, that's what it is with the believer, is we must have the same experience of the Holy Ghost ourselves as it's always been all the way down the ages.
Right.
Amen? I love that, because I can't give you the Holy Ghost, I can't give you the fire, but I can take the gospel with fire and put it over your life, and that fire, it will combust something on gospel works. Is you're hearing the same gospel, the same power, the same Holy Ghost, and that's what the purpose of church is. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The purpose of church is because we are to draw oil into our experience to keep our light alive.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the same fire that started in the beginnings, the same fire that's lighting the heart and has been lighting the heart of every believer down the ages, it is the same today. There's only one that can light the heart of the believer, and that is God. There's only one that can give us revelation, and it's God. Amen. And we need revelation. So let's go to St. John chapter 6, verse 44, just one scripture here. It says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So who is it that calls man? God, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I come to you, came not with you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now remind you, Paul was a very intelligent man.
Right.
Paul was a man that was Pharisee of Pharisees. If there was anybody that could quote the law, it was Paul.
Right.
But he said, I did not come to you like that. I didn't come to you with the enticing words of the man of showing you how intellectually you must believe this or teach you how to be a good Christian. He came in the power of the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's where our faith is to be, brother and sister. It's in the power of God. I'm not just reading just letters. There is a power with the words that I believe. Then the scriptures that I believe, the gospel that I believe is not just a dead letter gospel. It is a power of the Holy Ghost where he can change your heart. He can light that fire on the inside of you. Oil brings a lasting burning sensation. You say amen?
Amen.
Right. I was cooking taters last night, and I'll tell you about burning sensation of oil. I got hot oil on my hand. No, if you get just a little bit of hot water on your hand, it comes and it goes. But you know about oil? It stays and it continually burns. And I said, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to experience this, though it hurts. Because it reminds me, because you know what? When that Holy Ghost with oil comes inside you, the oil brings a lasting burning in your heart. Well, you're continually burning, thinking about the things that you heard. Thinking about the experience that you just had with a living God. Because if it's just water, you know, you get hot during the service and you leave, there's nothing left. But when there's oil with that, brother and sister, it's a lasting burn. And that's what we want, brother and sister. We want to hear the word and we want the oil with the word.
Amen.
Because that oil with the word will cause a continually burn inside of our heart to believe this word.
Amen.
Amen. I love that. Paul was not preaching to an intellectual, he was not preaching an intellectual gospel of telling him this is how you can become a good church member. But he was preaching by revelation, and it has brought the power of transformation into the hearts of the believer. And there is a real bride of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this, brother, little bride, you are not forsaken. That devil is coming at a full rampage on the bride. He's trying so hard to make you think you're all alone, you're all by yourself, you're never going to reach that vision, this is the vision of the bride, you are never going to make it. Let me tell you something. Let me assure you something. You are not forsaken.
Amen.
God knows exactly where you are. God knows, you know, there's a seed that goes into the ground, you plant a seed in the ground, sometimes that seed seems like it takes forever for anything to change. That seed has sat there in the darkness. It's all by itself. That's what I love about going out in nature. Sometimes you go way out in the middle of nature, out in the middle of the woods. And one time we were riding side by side, and Brother Jordan said, I believe I just touched a tree that has never been touched by man. Ever. But you know what? That tree that was way out there that had never been touched by man. Ever. That thing probably at a moment said, you know what, I'm the only one here. I'm all by myself. What am I doing with my life? I'm not doing anything. But listen to me. That thing started with a seed, and that seed shall prevail.
Amen.
No matter how alone it feels, no matter how defeated it feels, one of the most remarkable things I've seen, and I'm sure you've probably seen it in your life, but it shall prevail. And let's make you as the bride of Jesus Christ, you shall prevail. Amen. The word shall prevail. Amen. Listen to what Brother Graham says about this. He said, I want this tabernacle, now that you're on your feet, I want you to keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling. Whatever you do, cling together. Be as clannish as you can be, but always with an arm out to reach and get someone else to bring them in. But in this faith that we're preaching and earnestly contending for, don't you move one inch from it. For if you believe me to be his servant, this is the program of God. It'll never be in the majority. It'll always be in the minority. Always has, always will be. But remember, it is written, fear not, little flock. Your Father's good will is to give you the kingdom. Now, there's a group of offices of our church, deacons, trustees, Sunday school, superintendent, pastors, as our church is set in order. And you, the people, elected these officers and this pastor. But I'm just general overseer, seeing it goes on right, and to give advice and so forth. You are the one who elects your pastor. You elect your trustees. You elect the deacons. You elect every office there is in the church. You, the people. And it's your duty to stand by these men. See, they'll make mistakes. They're mortal. They're just men, and they'll make mistakes. Right. But if the president of the United States makes mistakes, do we throw them out as a president? We sure do feel like it sometimes, don't we? That's a tough one to swallow, that one. But it's true. That's what I'm saying. For we forget about it and move on. That's the way we want to do our church now. I was listening to him pray a few minutes ago for those deacons, and to hear back there a testimony at the door from the trustees, how that with one accord you all are. Now stay that way. Now you members stand by these trustees, deacons and pastor. And remember, when you get this together, remember that is the devil's business, is to break that up. Now, it's always has been, always will be, but you stand by your officers, and that was the talk I was going to make. I think that was a good talk.
Amen.
Let's stand behind our pastor.
Amen.
Stand behind your trustee. Stand behind your treasurer. Stand behind the deacon. Stand behind them, and know this, there will be times they make mistakes. Right. Has anybody else ever not made a mistake? When anybody makes a mistake, I'll tell you what, I'll be the first on the list to make a mistake. But you know what? As the ministry here, we don't ever try to put a point of saying, look at me, I'll be perfect like us. No, we're saying, be perfect like him.
Amen. Right.
Because that's what we're striving for.
Right.
And Brother Graham talks about, I love that he says, being an overseer is stand behind your leadership.
Amen.
Because the devil will fight to break that up.
Amen.
Amen. Now, when we work according to the laws of God, there is harmony and there is unity, and God does not just say things just to say them. When he says, fear not, why did he say fear not? It's because there was going to be a reason to be afraid.
Right.
Amen.
Listen to me, brother and sister. Fear not. It is God's good will to give you the kingdom. It is God's good will to give you the revelation. When you look at the message that we've been given, it can look like a mountain. It could look huge. How in the world am I ever going to comprehend it? But God will make that mountain a little plain for you. Amen. To help you to understand it.
Amen.
God will bring it in such a form and such a small piece that when you can eat that, and you take one bite at a time, and like a little child looking at his dad. How am I ever going to become my dad? Look at your dad's big muscles, your dad's big form. I'm talking spiritually. How am I ever going to become that? How will I ever become? Because you know, you are your father's seed.
Right.
How will I ever become? Because you look up to your dad, how it is, and all you've got to do is eat and behold.
Amen.
Eat and behold. A father inside the home is one of the greatest assets to a home, is a father.
Amen.
Because a father, you don't want to just be a father, it's a daddy. is to where you can take the time to listen to the kids, where you, and I'm talking about as far as a leadership role, because that father has the ability, if you take a home that does not have a father, it does not have a daddy, you can tell a difference. Because the daddy, there's a steadfast, there's something in the home. And brother and sister, that's the way it is with the church. Go, the father has a desire to see his seed manifest. Not just grow up, he wants to see them manifest. We live in an age today where men don't be men anymore.
Right.
You know, and what it is because fathers are not shown how to be a man.
Amen.
Amen. So we're talking about how God does not just say things just to say them. He's saying, fear not, little flock. There is going to be opportunity for you to feel afraid of. Or feel like you're not going to make the mark. Let's go to St. Luke chapter 12, verses 23 through 32. Now, life is more than raiment, and the body is more than raiment. I'm sorry. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn. God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, for what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of mine. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Satan will do all that he can to get families and individuals to where you are focusing on just trying to get to the daily life. I'm just trying to get bread on the table. Because what's the main purpose of you going to work? It's so you can eat, right? It's so you can provide, and of course, entertainment. Satan will try so hard to bombard the person to work. That's all you're doing in this life, is just trying to get by, and you're missing the purpose of the mission.
Right.
The purpose of the mission is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Right.
Because when you seek his kingdom, all the other things will be added unto you. These lilies of the field, they already have the overcoming power inside them to be what they need to be. And the seed inside of it is a transforming power. And in that transforming power inside those lilies can make it better, as the scripture says, better than Solomon in all of its glory. And the only thing that lily's got to do is to abide in the provided way that God has given that lily. And because it abides in that, that lily will meet the mark of what it's called to be. And listen to me, you and I, in the natural, sometimes you may say, how am I ever going to pay this bill in just the natural? How am I going to do that? If we will seek God first, put God first, God will provide those things in the natural of meeting your needs natural. And there's something greater than just your natural. I'm talking about our mark in the Lord of seeing the manifestation that God has ordained for my life and for your life. The way we must do that, if God can take care of a lily of a field, how much more will he take care of you, brother and sister? He will give you the revelation. He'll give you the oil at the appropriate time. But don't worry. Don't fret. How am I going to do this? Because you know what? The devil will try to get you to try and feel like you're failing. And he'll make you want to quit because you feel like you're not succeeding. But so then what we have to do is just abide in his presence. Abide in his word. You know, sometimes whenever you're out, as much as we love fried chicken, Malachi, when you eat that fried chicken, do you really? I mean, I know when you buy, there's sometimes mama can make it so good you can feel it in your toes. It's just that good.
Right.
But you know what? Honestly, when you eat that chicken, you don't feel it. Well, I feel a change. In your taste buds, you might feel it. Boy, I feel a change. Let me take another bite. Oh, glory. You don't. When you eat green beans, or you eat rice, or you're eating eggs, oh, glory, I felt that. Praise God, I felt that. You don't feel that. But you know what? You're growing.
That's right.
Whenever you're doing that, you're abiding, you're eating, you're doing the right thing, brother and sister. And listen to me, as a lily of the field, that's exactly what we got to do. We just got to keep eating. Fear not. Don't fret. Don't look at these things. How am I going to make this? How am I going to do that? Because the devil will try to get you a halt and tube opinions to make you forget who you are.
Amen.
You know what? Because if you don't know who you are, you can't stand your ground. You take a soldier or someone that's leading troops or whatever your position is, and he tries to get you to hold between two opinions, and you're not even focusing on the thing you know very well how to do. Whereas if you can get the nonsense out of your mind, just focus on what you know and walk in what you know, you will have victory. Why? Because you're walking in confidence in what you know. And that's what we are called to do, brothers. Don't try to walk into something you don't know yet. You grow into that. There'll come time. As of right now, walk in the light God gave you right now. And when you walk in that, you can walk in confidence. You know, if I'm walking with my lantern, I can't see all the way over there. But I can see right where I'm at. I can walk with confidence right where I'm at. Because if you walk in what you got, he'll take you over there.
That's right.
Amen. So we want to seek the kingdom of God first. Every lily planted has a manifestation, and it's a predestination that God has put for that plant. In God's mind, he had in his mind of a lily. In his mind, I don't believe God saw a root and said, "Oh, that's so beautiful." How many of you ever take a picture of a root and stick it on your wall? That's beautiful, ain't it? Or go take a picture of just a root. You wouldn't do that because it's not a finished product. It's just a portion. And when God saw that lily, he saw a finished product, brother and sister. And that painting, just like when an artist goes to a blank canvas, the artist sees it already. He sees the finished product and he's just working on it. The beholders of everybody else, you look and say, "Where's it at? I don't see any manifestation. I don't see it." The artist says it's all right here. I see it. And that's exactly how God sees you and I. He sees a finished product of the bride of Jesus Christ. God sees it already in your life, and God is working on your life. Daily, God puts people in your life to push your buttons just right, or to lift you up just right, bump you just right. What's God doing? God is so orchestrated. Using the devil, I said using the devil. He will use the devil to orchestrate, to push you, to mold you. What's he doing? Getting the seed inside you to manifestation.
Right.
Sometimes your boss will be like, "I know, trust me. He's an audit to make your job hard." People around you, they're born beside you. They're anointed to make your job hard. What's he doing? Pressure on the seed, testing on the seed, pressing on the seed, because that seed has got to come to manifestation.
Right.
You know, sometimes there's something that'll come out of you like, "Wow, I didn't even know where that was. Praise God. Thank you for helping me get that. Lord, get that under the blood. You had no idea."
Right.
That's true. That's the seed. The seed will have to keep pressing on. And the seed inside of you will do that automatically when you're walking in that light. Mm-hmm. We got plants inside the house, or little house plants. And if I was to think of a powerful plant, my thoughts would not go to a house plant. I'd probably think of like a fern or a rose or something like that. But you know, our plants, as weak as they are, and you put we open the blinds up, though they may be pointed toward the fireplace. But you come back, and guess where they're pointed? To the sunlight.
Right.
And listen to me, the seed inside you will always go back to the light.
Amen.
Right. Even when you fall into a wayward son or daughter of God, you may try to start going a different route. You may be trying to go that different route all you want to, but the seed inside you will always draw you back to the Word.
Amen.
Every time. What is it? It's God.
Amen.
If that don't give you confidence in the seed inside you, I just don't know. It's the seed inside you. It always takes you back. Even though you're stressed sometimes, even though you go through pressure sometimes, you're overwhelmed sometimes. You're like, "I can't even think anymore." You get away, what's your mind go back to? Your heart goes right back to the Word every time.
Amen.
It's the seed. The seed shall prevail. And God has an interpretation in his mind of what that lily will be. And people may look at the lily and say, "You know what, that's manifestation, because they haven't seen the full manifestation yet. But when you really see the manifestation, wow, that's awesome. Let's look. Jesus was the interpretation of the Word. It says, "Now we find today," this is a quote, "now we find today that this seed, that this discrepancy has been sowed down through the every age. If it was possible to get it in the next 15 minutes, I would do it, but I can't. Down through the ages, most of all of us read the Bible, and now, like when Jesus came and he found that discrepancy, contrary, he was the Word manifest. He was God's interpretation of the Word, because he said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me." There you are. He was the interpretation of the Word. And every born-again son and daughter of God of this age is the interpretation of the Word. You are written epistles, read of all men. The bride today, just like in every age, you are the interpretation of what the Scripture is.
Right.
Amen. I got just a little further to go, okay? This is from the church age book. The very name Ephesus has a strange compound meaning, aimed at and relaxed. The high aspirations of this age that had begun with the fullness of the Spirit, the depth of God, whereby they were aiming at the high calling of God, began to give way to a less watchful attitude. A less ardent following of Jesus Christ began to manifest itself as an omen that in the future ages, the physical vehicle called the church would sink into the awfulness of the depth of Satan. It had become relaxed and was drifting. Already the age was backsliding. It had left its first love. The tiny seed planted in that Ephesian age would one day grow into the spirit of air until all the foul birds of the air would roost in its branches. So inoffensive to human reasoning would that little plant appear to the new Eve, the new church, that again she would be deceived by Satan. The Ephesian age had presented to her the opportunity for God's best, and for a while she prevailed and then relaxed. In that unguarded moment, Satan planted the seed of complete ruination. Brother and sister, it's why we must keep our eyes focused on this Word. God has a provided way to keep that oil inside of our life. And Satan's job is to get you away from that provided way of the oil. Mm-hmm. He will try so... Listen to what I'm saying. I know you're tired. I work today too. Listen to me. Whenever Satan's job is to draw you, to get you into a relaxed state of mind where you're just comfortable, whereas at one time you're aimed at, this happened in the Ephesian age, and listen to me, Satan's still fighting that today. He'll try to get you relaxed, don't worry. Brother Daniel, you said don't worry, I can rest. You can rest, but you've got to stay with the Word, brother and sister. You got to continue to draw from that oil. Draw from the oil. Draw from the Word. Beholding His beauty on a daily basis. Every walk that you go, you're following the Lord. And you're drawing oil. Amen?
Amen.
A little further, he says, now, and that was from the exposition of the seven church ages. The Ephesian age. It says, now he said the seed of God, the Word of God, Jesus said in a certain place that the Word is a seed, and every seed will bring forth of its kind. And now if the Christian, the children of God, the children of the kingdom, has become the seed of God, then they must be the Word of God manifested in the age that they're living in. For the promised seed of that age, God gave His Word at the beginning, and each age has had its seed, its time, its promises. Now, when Noah come on the scene, and he was the seed of God, the Word of God for that age. When Moses came, he could not come with Noah's message. It wouldn't work because he was the seed of God at that time. Then when Christ come, he could not come with Noah or Moses' age. It was his time for a virgin to conceive and to bring forth his son, and he would be the Messiah. Now we've lived through Luther's age, Wesley's age, Methodist age, all down through the ages and the Pentecostal age, and each age is given a promise of the Word, and the people of that age that manifest that promised Word is the seed of that age. According to what Jesus said right there, they are the children of the kingdom. That's right, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit operating through His children in those seed of the kingdom of that age. We must, listen to what I'm saying, we must strive to pull on this message. And I want to say this. It's so important that we listen to the tapes.
Amen.
Young people, it's so important that you are listening to the tapes. If you want to know what the message is, you've got to listen to the message.
Right.
Right.
You can't just listen to church on Sundays or on Wednesdays and say, that be it, because you're not going to gain any of it. That's like only eating fried chicken on Wednesdays and Sundays and not eating anything in between. That's not acceptable, is it?
That's right.
You'd be sickly, you'd be poorly, you would not be healthy, you wouldn't be the handsome stature of a person that you need to be. Listen to me, we've got to listen to these tapes, because listen, mm-hmm. There's a deep call to the deep. There is an oil that comes from those tapes, brothers and sisters.
Right.
If I can say it that way, there is an oil that comes from the tapes. And when you're listening to that message, there's a voice within that voice. And whenever you're doing that, when you are listening to that voice, you are drawing oil. You're drawing oil because you're going to God's provided way for this age.
Right.
In the days of Noah, that message, in order to get the oil, let me say it this way, in order to get the oil for salvation, the way of escape in the days of Noah, is you'd have to listen to what Noah was saying. You'd be having to listen to his voice. Hearing his voice, abiding in his voice. Because when you listen to that voice, you'll know when the change is going to take place. Because
right.
You know what? There come a change. Whenever that door was shut, and listen to me, it was not Noah that shut that door. It was God that shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to come a time when the gospel is going to be preached for the last time, and the door will be shut. And it will not be your pastor that shuts the door. It will not be your favorite preacher that ever shut the door. It will not be anybody in this earth in the natural that shuts the door. It'll be God that shuts the door. And I'm speaking to bride tonight. I'm trying to show you this,
right.
this is a reality that's going to take place.
Right.
There's a door of revelation. The door of opportunity of revelation is going to come to a shut. It's because we're not drawing from the oil. We must draw from it. We must walk in it. We must listen to it. Because when you're listening to the tapes, just to assure you don't feel like you're getting the strength by eating that fried chicken, you're drawing oil.
Right.
Amen. False preachers are saying that we should not preach apostolic doctrine because they don't think that God does it anymore. Thank God that this church does not preach that. This gospel will tell you, this church will preach you, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Amen. God's the one that calls man. We got just a little further, we'll be done. God's the one that does the calling of man, and God uses the vessels of man to preach the gospel, but remember, it is God that does the calling. And every son and daughter of God, you are walking under your calling, and every seed walks under a calling. Every seed is walking under a calling.
Right.
If you're a wheat seed, you're walking under the calling to be a wheat.
Right.
If you're corn, you have a calling to be a corn. And listen to me, if you're the bride of Jesus Christ, you are not called to be some limited or some deformed plant.
Right.
That is not your calling. You are called to be the original seed of God. You know, if you take a wheat seed and you put it in the right environment, the wheat seed will produce wheat. And listen to me, if we will take the word and put that word in the right environment, the word will produce exactly what it's supposed to.
Amen.
It will do it. Brother Tony does a lot of planting on tomatoes and peppers and all kinds of things. You know what? And he said this before, and I think it's a good illustration. If he puts tomato plant in the ground, why would he expect a pepper to come forth? Why would it even be acceptable to see a pepper come forth? Because it's not. Because the seed will bring forth what it is. A seed will bring forth of its kind. And listen to me. If we are filling ourselves with this word, we don't have to make it come forth. It just happens. It just bears on the outside of you. You know, it's not like you're trying to take the peacock feathers inside of a crow and say, look, I'm a peacock now because I put peacock feathers inside of me. That's not a peacock. That looks ridiculous, right? It's the same way with the church of the living God. We don't want to just take certain quotes of the scriptures or certain quotes of the message and stick them on us and say, look, I'm a message believer now. Because I had this quote, I had this quote, I had this. Because you know what? That's put on. That's manufacturing something. See, God don't want a church that's manufacturing something. But you know, a sheep, his whole system inside him is a sheep. He can't help but be a sheep. But what he's got to do, he's got to abide in that presence that God has provided. And for a sheep to manifest a sheep. And when he abides in that presence, he eats the grass, he drinks the water, he walks in the humility under his shepherd.
Amen.
That's the provided way of a sheep, is to walk in obedience to the voice of his shepherd. Because the shepherd will provide for him. That sheep should not be worrying if a wolf's going to get him. He must put his confidence in the shepherd.
Right.
Fear not, little flock. Listen to me, we as the bride of Jesus Christ, your whole system on the inside of you is to take a body change.
Amen.
Your whole system inside of you. So all you got to do is abide in the shepherd.
Amen.
Right.
about you, that makes me happy.
Amen.
I don't have to worry. How am I going to take this rapture? I don't know. But you know one thing I know to do? I need to abide in His presence, walk under God, the leadership of God's shepherd.
Amen.
I like how that quote, Brother Brennan says, I just overseer it. He did not take over the position of pastor. Yeah, he said, I'm just making sure you're doing it right.
Right.
Ain't that awesome? Because He said, you're the one that votes your pastors in.
Right.
And now stand behind Him.
Amen.
Amen. The prophet didn't say, you're not doing a good enough job to be a child of God. Get out of the way. Let me do it. He wouldn't do that because he'd be out of his position now. See, there's nobody that can walk in your position as a son of God like you can.
Right.
You are dynamic. When you are being exactly what God has called you to be.
Amen.
A little bitty purple flower, it's so little that you got to really stop and to look and behold it. But when you really behold it, wow, that thing's, it's beautiful.
Amen.
There's unique characteristics inside that thing that's not like all the others. This flower may be bigger, but it's not this flower. It's special. It's got a purpose. It's got a mission. And listen to me. Each one of us, we are a little bitty flower, brother and sister. We don't want to be a big flower. I want to be a small flower. I want to be exactly, but you know what? I want to be exactly what God wants me to be.
Amen.
I want to bear His fruit. I want to be and surrendered in the capacity of being a son and daughter of God in such a way that I am not thinking about anything else but being what God called me to be. And then when somebody walks beside me, that they can look at the beauty that I'm radiating because I'm bearing it. I'm not trying to work it up. I'm not trying to make it. I'm just being what God called me to be. And that's what God's calling the bride to be, brother and sister. Don't try to be pumped up. Don't try to make third pool happen. But listen, if you hear me this, when you need third pool, when you're being little, just a little bitty flower, you know what? Somebody may look at that little bitty flower and say, that's a puny little weakling. That flower ain't got nothing. Look at this big old strong flower over here. But this little bitty flower, if you can walk with that flower, you would see the trials and the tribulations that little flower has gone through. It's had to push through boulders. It had to push through sticks. One winter come over through and he just keeps pressing. A storm comes through and he keeps pressing. It's a fight. What is it? It's a seed inside that flower. It's that I shall prevail.
Amen.
I shall prevail.
Amen.
The flower himself wasn't doing it. It was something inside of him that was doing it.
Right.
So there's many times inside us you say, I can't do it. I quit. But what is it? There's something inside you that won't let you quit.
Right.
When Brother Brennan lost his little daughter in himself, he said, you know what? I can't do it. You're right. I preached the gospel. He started to quit. But something deep inside of him, in the darkest part of his life, said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. What is it? The seed.
Amen.
There was a seed inside him that prevailed, brother and sister. And brother said, that's exactly what it is with every child of God. Whenever you are just being what God called you to be, you're an overcomer.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to quit. I will. In a rose bush, they tell the thing called deadheading. And deadheading is where you got a beautiful rose bush, and that it's where that bloom begins to turn brown, and it'll start to die, and it will actually hinder the rest of the plant because it's dying. And you know what you got to do? You got to take some pruners, some snippers, and you got to cut that off, and then it encourages more growth. And more growth will come through. And there's a lot of times in our experience, there comes a time of deadheading. Where, you know, you had an experience with the Lord. And it was wonderful. But then if you try to keep holding on to just that one experience of the Lord, that's all I've got, that's all I've got, that's all I've got, that's all I've got, it was beautiful. There's something about a rose bush, it's captivating. Something about the radiance, the color, the smell, it's so wonderful. But there comes a time where you've got to cut that off because there's got to be another one to come forth. And that's the way it is with our testimonies of the Lord, brother and sister. When you've got a genuine testimony of God, where God is working in your life, it is beautiful, it is captivating, it's got a beautiful smell. But you know what? You can't just live off yesterday's experience, brother and sister. Sometimes there's got to be a pruning. Sometimes the ministry's got to come to your life and do some cutting in your life. And you may feel like, you know, what are you doing to me? Why are you interfering with my life? Why are you picking on me? Everyone knows you're talking about me. He don't. When a preacher's really preaching under the anointing, he has no idea what he says until he gets home. And sometimes then he doesn't know what he said. But the ministry will come to your life and prune and cut. Will cut in your life. What's he doing? He's making room for growth. So, but the best thing, if we can see the finished product of what the ministry, the purpose of the ministry, the purpose of the mission, it's to make me what God called me to be. In order for me to do that, I have to say, prune me. If I need cutting, prune me. Right. If I need correcting, prune me. Because we don't want to hold on to yesterday's experience. You know, if they kept the bread and the children of Israel to the next day, it turned into wiggle tails or worms and things like that. And you couldn't eat it. You got to have a fresh experience, a fresh word, brother and sister. Right. Amen. It's got to be a daily walk with the Lord. Because when you do that, you're encouraging growth.
Amen.
Amen. A daily walk with the Lord.
Amen.
Jacob's well at one time was a great movement. That's why they call it Jacob's well. You know what? That was a rose bush at one time. It was beautiful. You walk by it. Wow, look at that. That was a move of God. Jacob created this well. But there come a time when Jesus said, I have needs to go by Samaria. And went to the same well. She could have stayed with the well. She could have stayed with a movement that took place. But what was it? Jesus Christ in the flesh come to her and says, go get your husband. What was it? It was an opportunity of a fresh bloom to where she could lay her old life down, brother and sister, and a new growth could come forth. And this woman, whenever she did that, listen to me, it was an opportunity. She could have stayed with the well. She could have said, you know what, I don't need none of that. I know this was a move of God that took place right here at this well. I ain't going any further. That's exactly what's happened down the denominational churches, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, all the way down. Listen to me, there was a time they had a movement. There was a time it was a genuine rose. There was a time it was captivating. Wow. There was a time the Catholic Church was the church. I remember when I read the seals, I was like, what? Brother Brim says the real Catholic, in the original, and looking at the Catholic Church, they were actually Christians at one point. And they start slowly turning away, turning away, turning away, turning away, and look at the mess it's turned in now.
Right.
And listen to me, and if you try walking in yesterday's message, you're going to get into a wreck.
Right.
Look how far the Catholic Church has gotten so far out now.
Yeah.
And he said the Pentecostals will be 10 times worse. And may I say this? The message, people around the message will be 10 times worse than them. Because you know what? You take wood that's in the water, it will rot twice as fast.
Right.
Because you're sitting right in the presence, right in the opportunity. Listen to me, brothers. Listen to me, young people. It's so important that we are growing in this word.
Amen.
And what I mean by growing in it is because you're doing what you know you're supposed to do.
Amen.
You know what you're supposed to do. You don't have to have mama come up here and spoon feed you. Could you imagine mama coming up to me? So Daniel, it's time for you to eat now. And have to feed me? There's something wrong if she does. And listen to me. It's spiritual growth is whenever you're taking the peas and you're eating it yourself.
Right.
You're taking the knife and you're cutting the steak and you're eating it yourself. I feel like I could, you know, big old rock when I said Catholic. What are you talking about Catholic? Look in the seals. Brother Ben talked about the Catholic Church. Look back. He said, I had to go back and look myself.
Right.
To look back. We need to walk in the word that God gave us today. Because whenever we're walking, as I talked about, and I'm closing right now, I promise. Don't tell me you're going to come forward. Shut me up. That talking about that oil in Zechariah, he talked about the seven lampstands. That was God's provided way of seven church ages. God showed how they were going to draw the oil. You can try to, the churches can try to say, I'm doing it my own way. I'm not coming your way. That was God's provided way of doing it. And no, any other way would not work.
Right.
It will not work. And I'm going to show you something to you too. Brother Brennan talked about how, lit up all stuff for us. Talked about how that, you know, there's a provided way for a baby. When a baby has need of something, you know, you can give that baby a bell and say, ring this bell and we'll bring you your milk. And it wouldn't work. It never happened. You'd be silly for telling that baby, hey, ring your bell. But you know what that baby's got to do? Cry for it.
Right.
That baby just cry for it. Because I need satisfaction. I need something inside me. I'm hungry. I need my diaper change. I need these changes. I have a need. And I don't know how to fix it. You know, that's a terrible thing to be in. To be a little baby. I don't know how to fix it. But the only thing I'm going to do is cry. I cry. In your spirit, you're crying. And there's a ministry that will have something on the inside of you. You get the gift on the inside of you. And whenever you've got a soul that's crying, I need more of the Holy Ghost. I need oil. I need the Word. I need these things. There's a ministry that's got a gift on the inside of me. And just as a woman, her breast was filled with milk and come into pain. Then what is it? She has a pain to be delivered. A woman's got milk that's coming on the inside of her. What is it? A baby's crying. It's a deep call to the deep. There's a baby that's crying because it needs to be satisfied. And there's a ministry that hears the cry. In that ministry, that woman, the only deliverance she can have is to release the milk.
Right.
And that's the way it is with a fivefold ministry that has a genuine call ministry. Whenever you've got something on the inside of you that's calling, it's calling. You feel something, what is it? It's a seed that's calling for life.
Amen.
You say amen.
Amen.
Brother, sister, that's what we're doing. We're calling for life.
Amen.
And all that baby's got to do is come the provided way. That mama will come and satisfy that child.
Mm-hmm.
And just as that mama can satisfy that child, there's seed of God down seven church ages.
Amen.
And they're just crying.
Amen.
They're crying. And God had a provided way. God had a gift on the earth that would meet the challenge of the cry.
Right.
Listen to me. We got a message in this hour that will
Amen.
Meet the challenge of the cry.
Amen.
I've got to cry for a body change. I've got to cry to be healed. I've got to cry for deliverance. I've got to cry for a Savior. I've got to cry. Listen, there's a ministry. Jesus Christ Himself will come in the midst of a people in a fivefold ministry. And
Amen.
He said, I will meet the challenge
Amen.
Of your cry.
Amen.
God will meet the challenge of your cry.
Amen.
Cry out to Him.
Amen.
And then when He comes, draw from Him.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand up. I pray you get something out of this.
Amen.
I want to draw from Him.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just stop. Let's just bow our heads. We're just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I love you. I love you so much, Lord. I thank you for this word, Lord. I see it so clearly, Lord. I just know in my broken language, I'm just not a good talker, Lord. And I do a bad job so many times of translating what it is I'm trying to say. I just pray that through my broken language, Lord, you could speak to your seed tonight, Lord. God, I ask you that you would just come into this place, Lord. Oh, Lord, that you would touch your seed, Lord. And may they see that you are the drawer, Father.
Yes.
You're the giver of life. You're the giver of revelation, Lord. I ask you, Father, you would help us to surrender to your provided way, Lord. Father, give us the refilling of your Holy Ghost, Lord. There's a finished product of this church, Lord, and I know that's what you're seeing, Lord. Whenever I have all my weakness, we have our failures, but you don't look at that. You look at a finished product of a bride that's been chosen, that's been ordained to take a rapture. It's ordained to receive healing. Lord, we are ordained to receive your life. Oh God, I ask you, come into this place, Lord. Come into the family's homes, Lord God. Lord, I feel it in my heart, Lord. Rapture is right here, Lord. Oh God, I want to run well. We love you. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Who here knows how to take a body change? I see people raising their hand. You're not getting what I'm saying.
No.
You don't know how to.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You don't know how to. But he does. So if you know you don't know how, then why would you try yourself? You wouldn't, right? But you would rely on him. And that's exactly what Brother Daniel's talking about tonight. Just rely on the Lord. You know, the laws of God work just like any other laws. I was telling someone the other day, you know, we've had a big rain this morning. Some people here in Arkansas, I think, got either 7 or 8 or 9 inches of rain. Water weighs about 8.3 pounds per gallon. How on earth does thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of gallons of water hang up there in the sky? And then when God's ready, he lets it come down. And when it comes, it weighs 8.3 pounds per gallon. You carried it, right? Now, it just goes to show, because it's a law of God. Right? It's a law of God. That moisture is held in the air. How do you hold that? How do you hold gallons of water in the air? And my point is that God's laws work. We don't have to understand it. And when he gets ready for us, and weigh however much we weigh, when he gets ready for us to leave this planet, right, his laws will kick in. Right? We don't have to worry about it. And so, you know, as Brother Neville was talking about, you know, just walk with the Lord.
Amen.
Right? We talked about that in Bible study, I think, about it. Just like Enoch. He just walked with the Lord.
Right.
And one day, he was not, because the Lord took him. And so you just keep walking with the Lord, and that'll take care of it. You don't have to understand it, anything like that. Scripture said Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like that little flower.
Yeah.
Think about that. Something so simple. But Brother Daniel has explained to you tonight how that little flower was what he was. Right? Because there was a seed in there and a law of God and the nourishment and all that. And it just, and our Lord said, even Solomon in all his great kingdom of glory, there's nothing like that little bitty flower. Amen. And so I will say this too. You know, a powerful weapon like an atomic bomb, you know, you can do a lot of destruction with it, right? But that also can be a great deterrent.
Right.
Right? And I said that to say this, because all the ages with denominations have come out of old things like that. And when you take something that's really powerful, a truth that's really powerful, if it's in the wrong hands, it can do a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
And so God has given us a message that works.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy is out there wanting to do what he wanted to destroy, and he's wanting to use that for destruction. Amen? But God's got people. And I'll stay true to this word.
Amen.
So we appreciate that. Appreciate everything Brother Daniel shared with us tonight.
Amen.
Pray that everyone who was missing tonight would be able to go back and listen to that if they didn't hear it tonight. Let's go to Psalm 239. We'll just sing something here, and then we'll read the scripture when we get through. Aren't you glad he became you?
Amen.
Oh, he became me, and I might become him by grace. Oh, he became me, and I might become him by grace. Oh, he took my place. Thank you.
they had a request tonight that we would read the Lord's Prayer. Amen. So we want to do that, and if she wants to bring it up, she can. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Beginning at verse 9. Amen. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'll sing that again. You can be dismissed. Oh.